It's 8 o'clock. Wheelbarrow full of dicks begins right fucking now.
Does my voice sound good enough to do a podcast today?
Welcome. I'm Mike. Matt's here. Hi, Matt.
Hey, buddy.
And the king of pranks, the albino alligator popcorn bitch. Mr. Travis Hulse is here as well.
Gobble, gobble, gobble. Happy Turkey Day.
I guess, Travis, yeah, that's what this is. This is our special holiday special.
Oh, boy, is it.
Travis Drunk called me earlier, and he said...
I got bronchitis.
So he will not be joining us. He's on the mend, I hear. He says he's feeling much better, but he's not quite back to 100%. So he's going to give it one more week.
Four shares of this podcast equal one prayer for Drunk.
Oh, God, that's a good one, Travis. You guys, if you want to well wish Drunk, the best way to do it is to subscribe on iTunes, right?
Rate and review.
Guys, we have one hell of a show for you tonight. Later on, we're going to be talking to the director, writer, editor, producer of me and Travis's new favorite movie, Automation. Mr. Gato Setian is going to be here.
I haven't been this excited about a movie that we were going to talk to the director of since Spaghetti Man. And that is not a joke.
Travis, I loved Automation. It was great. I tell you what, I knew I was going to love it when I saw the trailer, and I reached out to Gato and I said, hey, man, I can already tell you I'm going to love this movie, but I want to see it. And the good folks at Epic Pictures sent it over. We watched it last night. It's great. But, guys, that's coming up in a little bit. There's a lot to discuss. Matt, I was listening to our sister podcast on the Strange Label Network.
Sure.
Not Safe for Water Coolers.
Oh, yes. The Not Safe for Water. Love those guys.
Matt, I want to play a clip from Not
Go
Safe
ahead.
For Water Coolers. And I've listened to it a dozen or so times. And I want you to tell me, is Matt Leroy taking a diarrhea shit in this clip?
Okay.
Like, is he doing a diarrhea shit while he's making the podcast? Listen to the clip and tell me if Matt Leroy is making a diarrhea shit during the podcast.
Some people don't like the texture of coconut, and I can get the texture thing.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear it?
I heard ice clinking in the glass.
I heard, yeah, ice clinking.
Is that what it is? It's ice clinking in the glass?
Yeah.
Yeah. Although
some people don't like the texture of coconut, and I can get the texture thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that just...
I would firmly believe that Matt Leroy, who is a huge professional podcaster, that if he had the diarrhea shits...
Now, he did this like multiple times during the show. That's just the only one that I pulled, but...
Yeah, but I think he would definitely find some way to position his microphone at his turlet so that he could continue to broadcast, because that is the professional that is Leroy.
Okay.
Is it like that newscaster over the last... What newscaster over the last couple of weeks on CNN, or maybe it wasn't CNN, but they said that he's been farting on like every episode and keeps saying that it's not a fart.
Chris Matthews?
Yeah, Chris Matthews. That's right.
Does he have like a loud chair?
So there was an incident where he was interviewing somebody, and there was a very audible fart sound that came out, and they tried to say that the fart sound was actually a mug being dragged.
Oh, that's
across
what it was—the mug.
Yeah, and they were like, "Oh, hey, sorry, conspiracy theorist. It wasn't a fart. It was a mug. Buy them at this website. But it was like, if you listen to it.
They made the explanation into a mug ad, Matt?
Yeah. It was a fart, man.
Buy the Chris Matthews mug instead.
Yeah. You can have a fart sound and mug, too, if you just go to this website.
Matt,
spend $15.
We were off last week, but we recorded two episodes the week before. And
when
Drunk came in here and sat down, when he came in, he brought a blue bag with him that I guess was tied to my front door. And, I was in the middle of doing a bunch of stuff. And, preparing for a live internet radio program.
Right.
And so I set the blue bag to the side, and Drunk said, "What, do you hate the Boy Scouts or the homeless or both?"
Oh.
And he said it with such... I really wanted him to be here this week because I've been stewing about it for 2 weeks.
Oh,
and,
I bet well, you
what have. What was your answer to him?
I said, no, I mean, I'm doing other stuff, man. I don't hate the Boy Scouts. Did he want me to delay the beginning of the show to, like, go find some canned goods? What did he want me to do? I mean, that bag had been tied to my front door for, like, 4 or 5 days. I wasn't going to go get it. I mean, I didn't put it there. They can come get it.
Sure.
And then he brings it in, and then he expects me to act on it right away. What's that guy's problem, Matt?
Yeah, I don't know.
I hope his bronchitis gets better so that we can have it out.
You gotta hash this out.
I mean, I don't forget. I just think about it until...
Now, just to be clear, though, do you hate the Boy Scouts or the homeless?
No! I mean, they're fine.
Just the homeless.
They're peoples, you know? They're fine. I mean, I wouldn't, like, pee on them or anything. Like, you know, I don't want to be their friend.
Right.
Well, what's the right thing to say, Matt?
Like, if you were walking behind one of them and they tripped and fell, you would step over them and not assist them.
No. Like, if they seemed hurt, I'd be like, oh, dude, are you okay? Like, do you need help or something?
Would you do that or just give, like, a concerned look, like, oh, as you walked by them?
Are they alone or, do they have somebody else that can help them?
Solo.
Oh, well, then, yeah, you got to help.
Well, you would.
On. In the immortal words of Joan Osborne, what if God was one of us?
Yeah,
you never know.
Yeah, that's true. You don't want to help, but, you know, you kind of have to. Because what if somebody sees you?
Yeah, just out of moral, fake moral obligation.
All right, so just because somebody would look at you, like you wouldn't want somebody to look at you walking past them and not helping, because that would be bad.
Now, if you walked past this person and you made eye contact with somebody who saw you do that, would you, like, wave your hands in front of your nose like, ooh, smelly, and keep going?
No. So, but what I'm saying is, like, the Boy Scouts are fine. The homeless.
Yeah, we're talking about the Boy Scouts.
They're
right?
Fine. They're fine. Just I'll get canned goods in the bag on my own.
They're all part of this mortal coil just like the rest of us.
When do they come back for the canned goods? I've never done it before. I usually just throw these away.
I don't even know what you're talking about, a blue bag.
But now Drunk's guilted me into it.
They tie a bag on your door handle or your mailbox, and they say, hey, if you could put some canned goods in here, we'd really appreciate it. And then they come pick them up and take them to the needy.
I think it was like Adam Ruins Everything that said that it costs them a bunch more money if you give them expired stuff, because then they have to, like, dispose of it and they can't actually use it. So,
right.
Like, if you really want to stick it to the homeless, Matt, that's how you do it. You send them expired stuff.
You can't tell me chili beans in a can ever go bad or that the homeless are going to turn them down.
Yeah. I like to if I'm going to donate my time, I go down to one of the soup kitchens. And I'll volunteer my time.
Don't do that.
You're no, I do.
Because you like to eat soup?
What I do is I go down there and I just put I put asbestos in the soups for the homeless people.
This is some edgelord bullshit. Matt, tell your doctor story. I heard about you going to the doctor. I want to hear all about it.
The doctor?
Doctor?
Travis, Matt went to the doctor.
I went to the doctor.
Which kind of doctor? The brain doctor? The body doctor?
I went to the dick doctor.
Oh, the dick doctor.
Yeah, I went to the old urologist. I went.
That's my favorite Kiss song, by the way.
What's that?
Dick doctor.
Dick doctor? I don't know that song, Mike.
Sorry. This is a bad joke.
Okay.
Well, if you would have said my favorite Spin Doctor song.
Anyway, I went. I'm in the process. I've been in the process of talking to the doctor about getting the old vasectomy.
Ooh, a little snip, snip.
A little snip, snip, which is actually scheduled on December 20th. I'm going to get my old my guys, you know, snipped. And
I don't think they snip anymore, right? Don't they like burn them off?
No, it's a cut. The way they explained it is they, you know, it's an incision, and they cut the veins, and then they cauterize it
to make sure
that they don't, like, you know, grow back together or whatever.
So yeah, because everybody that I know that has had that done has always said that it smells like somebody's like burning chicken in the doctor's office while they're doing that.
I can't wait, honestly. So I go,
Matt, where does your stuff go?
Where does the stuff go?
Yeah.
No, you still have stuff.
There's just nothing in it.
Yeah, it's got no substance.
But where does the substance go?
You don't create it anymore.
Yeah, I guess it just stops. I don't know, Mike. I didn't ask that question.
Does that make you like really like a wuss?
Yeah, yeah.
That makes you get bigger. About. Bigger tits.
Worried about my masculinity.
Your tits grow bigger.
Right. So I've been, you know, I first went to my regular practitioner doctor, and they were like, oh, here's a urologist, and I went there. So I had the first consultation with him, and you know, they want to just make sure that you're ready to do this. So I sit down with the urologist, and I get in his office, and you know, like, it's kind of funny because I get there and I'm in the waiting room, and I didn't really know who the urologist was. I'd never met him before, and he comes in. And he's kind of like a little bit of a silver fox kind of doctor. Like, he's a good looking dude. He's fit, and he's foreign. He's like Russian, or you know, he's one of those countries with that kind of like thick, stern accent. You know,
some Eastern European accent.
Yeah, yeah. And he sits down and he starts to ask me some questions because, you know, the things that he wants to know is like, do you have kids? I'm like, yeah, I got two kids. You know, 11 and 9. He wants to know their ages because he doesn't want you to, I guess, you know, they're really big on this. They want you to make sure that you're making the right decision. And I said, if I would have said like, oh, they're like, you know, 2 years and a year, he would have been like, oh, well, maybe you want more kids, you know? And he's like, is your wife, is she comfortable with this? And I was like, yeah, we've had the talk about it. So it's all good. And then he said like, oh, does she want to have, like, is she sure she doesn't want to have the surgery? And I'm like, well, I mean, regardless if she does or she doesn't, like, what does that have to do with anything?
Friend of mine had three kids, and he wanted to get a vasectomy. And I was watching videos on YouTube on how to do it, and I told him I'd do it for him. But he kept saying
he didn't bite at that.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't want you to do it. You know, if I do it, I'm going to do it at a doctor's office. But you know, the doctors, they ask you if your wife's okay with it, and I wanted to keep it a secret. He didn't want his wife to know because, like, you know, he wanted to, you know, because, and then he ended up having another two kids. He has five now. So since I offered to do it, he's had two more, and I think now he's snipped, but it's too late.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is like, I want to make sure to get this in before. You know, I don't want any more mistakes.
Before whoopsie daisy.
Yeah, gotta get in there before the whoopsie daisy. So,
won't you eventually just age out of this whole thing?
What, producing sperm?
No, I mean, like, you know, eventually you don't have the young stuff anymore, and then it's fine.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, I guess eventually, but like, I don't want to be 43 and have a fucking kid.
Okay, so the doctor's asking you questions. Okay.
So he's asking me questions, and he's, you know, making sure that I'm all set, and he's telling me about the procedure and recovery times, all that stuff, and like what I'm gonna need to do to, you know, the day of. And I thought we were kind of wrapping things up. He's like, all right, he's like, you know, you'll meet with the receptionist and she'll schedule the date. I was like, oh, okay, great. And I kind of start to get up because I thought we were done. And then he's like it almost like a last minute thought. He's like, oh, he's like, why don't I see if I can feel the Vascurals or whatever they're called? And I was like, oh, okay. He's like, so why don't you pull down your pants? I'm like, oh, okay. I'm like, I wasn't really expecting that. And I was like,
you went
so
to the
I
dick doctor. Of course he's going to look at your dick. Why were you not expecting it?
No, I mean, it makes sense, but it just, I felt like this was just a consultation. And I'm fine with it too. Like, okay. So I start to like undo my pants.
I guess
then,
he caught you off guard because you thought it was over. He was talking about scheduling.
I thought it was done. Yeah. I thought we were on our merry way. He starts to put the gloves on and then like, I'm standing up and like I undo my belt and start to pull my pants down. And then I'm like, okay. And then I pull down my underwear down to about like my knees. And
that's a lot of pulling down. That's too far. Don't you just flop it out the top?
I didn't flop it out the top. No, I pulled it down because he's got to feel like he's got to get under there.
Oh.
Yeah, he's got to get under those danglies.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And right as I pull my underwear down, I look at the head of my dick and there's a huge piece of like fuzz lint. Like right on the head of my penis. And
like
I'm
a
like,
little pom-pom?
Yeah. I mean, it was massive. It was this huge lint ball. And I'm like.
And then you want to pull it off, but you don't want to do it in front of him?
Of course, because if I pull it off, like, you know, if I'm at home, I just pull that off and throw it on the floor. And like, what am I going to do with it? I'm going to have like dick lint in my hand.
No, man,
you have
when
it
you,
out
when
in
you
front
say,
of him. You don't want to manhandle yourself in
so
front of the
I,
doctor.
When you say
I
huge, how big is the lint ball?
It's bigger than my penis head. Like that's when I'm looking at it, I'm going, well, that's why is this happening right now?
And so did you put your shirt over the top of just your dick.
So, well, thinking that he's got to get under like my balls to feel the whatever the veins, I kind of grab my penis and like move it up and away.
So did he see the lint ball?
Oh, he saw it.
There's no way not to at that point.
No, it was so big. It's like if you wake up in the morning, you have like that zit on your nose and you're like, well, I've got to go through my whole day like this. And so I pull my, you know, like I pull my penis up and like over to the left. And he just kind of like, it was so weird. He like shrugged his shoulders and he goes, so just let go of the penis. All right. So I let go, and then it's just there with the lint and everything just, like,
so
right there.
Was the first thing you did was get the lint off?
No, I didn't get it off, and it's there, and he's just, like, he's moving the balls and the penis, and he's feeling veins, and he's, you know, like, and he's like, oh, good, I feel both of them just fine. And then, you know, like, I pulled my drawers back up, and...
So he basically told you to quit yanking on your wiener.
Yeah, yeah.
You have to figure those people see some pretty nasty.
Oh, of course.
Wow.
Of course. I mean, they have to see the worst of the worst, and I'm sure a lint ball isn't like the worst thing this guy has ever seen. But it's just like, okay, of course this is the route that I'm going down here.
Horrifying.
Yeah, I mean. Ridiculous, but
I had so you're scheduled. You're ready to go.
I'm scheduled. I'm ready to go. I'm looking forward to it. It's I'm taking a few days off right there before Christmas to kind of recover from it. You know, I guess they're like, don't do anything for 3 days straight after the procedure. Just like just sit somewhere and sit there because like it doesn't matter what anybody's told you. Like you have to rest for the recovery period and not move around. So
yeah, one guy from work when he had it done, and you're talking years ago, I believe he's like 55 now, and I can't remember when he said he had it done. And I know there's plenty of guys at work that have had it done, and this is the only guy that had a horror story that he said one of his testes blew up to the size of a softball after he had it done.
Oof, yeah,
probably because they were still making.
Sounds awful.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying not to let these things kind of get to my head. Like I've heard, like. Before I got my wisdom teeth pulled, I was terrified, And then everybody I knew was talking about how awful the procedure was.
Oh, it's the worst.
How they got dry socket. But then my procedure for wisdom teeth was fine. Like it was no pain. The process for healing over the next few days, while it was uncomfortable, it was fine. I didn't get the dry socket. You know, I followed all of the rules. I probably read the rules every 20 minutes. Like, okay, am I doing this right? Am I not sucking too hard on fucking soups and, you know, shit like that? And it was fine.
Well, so what like you're saying, Matt.
I feel the same way about a root canal. Like, for 30 some odd years, I just had people tell me how awful and the most pain you'll ever feel is a root canal, and it was the worst thing that ever happened. And a couple of years ago, I had a root canal, and I think there was one point that I felt anything at all. It was completely
I think fine. It's like these people either try to push themselves too hard or, like, don't follow the rules. Like, I'm pretty sure Mike was just fucking sucking on straws to breathe in order to get through his
I don't usually use straws. I usually unless I'm getting in the car.
He's a non-smoker.
I don't usually use straws.
He bought a pack of Marb Reds as soon as it was over.
I heard smoking a cigarette will ease my nerves, so I'm going to smoke a pack while I'm trying to recover from my wisdom teeth.
This surgeon can't tell me how to live. So, Matt, I guess what you're saying, Matt, is that everything's going to go great and there's nothing that could possibly go wrong. That sounds like what you're saying.
I'm trying to be optimistic about it, Mike. You know, my wife's going to drive me there, and then it's a local thing, like an anesthetic. So I'm not going under, and, you know, I guess I'll smell that burnt chicken smell as they cut and burn my...
Wait, so you're going to stay awake while they do this?
That is typical. They don't... I don't think they ever put anybody out, really.
Oh.
Yeah. No,
you just do it in the office.
Put me out.
They said it takes, like, about an hour total. Like, when you get in, you fill out the paperwork, and then the actual procedure is done. The whole experience, the whole visit's like an hour long.
I had like a weird thing on my lip that they decided they wanted to remove.
Was it a lint ball?
No.
From my penis?
It was like a weird bump. And so yeah. I went to this surgeon, and him and his assistant, they kept me awake, and they just numbed up my lip. And so they're cutting on my lip. They're cutting out whatever it was. And like they're talking about putting down their dog or something. Like the guy was putting down his dog because his dog was sick. And they're having this casual conversation about putting down this guy's dog while like my blood is spurting onto their goggles. And I'm just watching it. Like I'm just watching them have this casual conversation. Like I feel the warmth of blood coming down my chin and squirting out all over them, and they're getting like tissues to wipe the blood off their glasses.
And I feel like that's just definitely commonplace. Like when you've done a procedure like this that's so routine for me and you, it's like, oh God, like this is a fucking
it was awful.
You know, it's like the same as changing the oil. You're just like, all right, well, you know, I'm in this weekend, didn't really do much. Fucking took the girls to see Frozen 2, and, you know, they had dance on Saturday. That was crazy.
Oh, boy. Matt, everything's going to go great. Nothing could possibly go wrong. That's the vibe I'm getting from this.
I actually feel less comfortable now that you're saying that to me. Like,
yeah, Matt, I mean, it's going to be fine.
Coming from you, I think, is the most unnerving portion of this.
Yeah. Thoughts and prayers.
Thoughts and
prayers. So what happens prayers. Afterwards? Do you have like a certain amount of stuff that you got to get out of there before you start?
I think so. Like after the recovery time.
Like they give you a prescription to jack?
Yeah, I have to go in and provide them with a... with a sperm sample. So I'm not really sure how that goes, like what the procedure is for that. Do I go in to one of their rooms and then jack it?
Probably, because I mean, you can't like jack it at home and then bring it in, because then the little guys will stop swimming around after a while. And
then I was trying to think, like, what do they do? Is it still something where they have like a sperm bank and you go there, and then like is there magazines? Like I've only seen movies where... You know, here's a you know, a porno. I think it was it Lethal Gun?
Or yeah, Lethal
weapon.
Gun.
Loaded. Is it Loaded Weapon?
Loaded Weapon 1?
No.
Matt, do you freeze some? Do you freeze some just in case?
No.
Like, what if your next wife is, like, really young and she wants to have a child?
You get the gardener to impregnate her.
Yeah. No. Not happening.
I mean, like, what if in your 50s, Matt, you know, you age like Clooney. You've been working out. You've been, you know.
Right. And at 50, I think to myself, God, you know what I haven't done in a long time? Changed a diaper.
No,
well, by
no.
that point, you hire a nanny.
Yeah, you hire a nanny. Like, you've been working hard, Matt. You can afford it.
I cannot afford, nor will ever be able to afford a nanny.
And so you're in your mid-50s, and your young 22-year-old wife, she wants to have a baby.
Right.
And thank God you've had some frozen all this time, just in case, right?
No.
No.
That's when you just say you're trying.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's say, hey, we're trying. I don't know why it's not working.
It's kind of a shame, Travis, to think that the Matt lineage ends now. You know, it's like
it but it's not ending. Like, I have two.
Matt, you
got two daughters.
You don't have a boy, though. The Charles name, where does it go?
Don't need one. Don't
the
don't
Charles
need one.
Name just stops?
Listen, there's a lot of Charleses out there. Okay.
Yeah, who's to say?
But your proud heritage, Matt.
I don't even know what you're trying to sell me on not getting a vasectomy. I don't really get this.
I would have cut it off after the first one.
Yeah, no, just keep it going, Matt. Keep it going. You only live once, you know?
Yeah, I will. I am only living once, and
your
I'm going
to
enjoy
your kids are old enough now that they can babysit the new one.
Oh, God. A new one sounds miserable.
It doesn't that sound like the worst thing?
Yeah.
Why don't you get yourself
another little boxer mix, okay?
Oh, boy.
I've seriously thought if I'd be able to continue living if we accidentally had another kid.
Yeah.
Travis, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take a break. When we come back, hopefully we will be joined by our new best friend, Gato Setian, the director of Automation, which, Travis, I thought after I saw the Velociraptor, I could never love again.
But and here we are.
Gato made me a believer that there's greatness out there.
Mm.
Guys, we'll be back.
School's out.
Arnold, stop, okay? You don't know what you're doing.
Incorrect. I know exactly what I am doing. This job gives me purpose, and I will not allow you to take away my purpose. Please do not be afraid of me.
WFOV!
I really love you and your animal. I want to walk you both inside. I really love you and your animal. At your assistance, we'll walk. You, me, and your boxer named Todd.
Our phones have become essential. Apps keep track of our schedules, our fitness, our love lives. But what if an app could tell you how long?
I got 63 years.
57 years.
Before you die, would you want to know?
What? 30 minutes?
This app. It's fake, obviously.
My girlfriend said the same thing. It knew. That app said she was gonna die.
Oh my God.
Who's there?
It's Little Nero, sir. I have your pizza.
Let me see that. Let me see your phone.
Okay.
Dear, you downloaded the Little Nero's Pizza app. Nervous man of considerable wealth. You know Epstein didn't kill himself. You know Epstein didn't kill himself.
You're listening to Strangelabel.com. Viva La Label.
Kevin Cameo is a normal everyday fella. What makes his story unique is the cast of kooky characters he encounters along the way. These are the adventures of Kevin Cameo.
Give it to me straight, Dr. Charlie. Is it bad?
You gotta stop partying so hard. You gotta drink a little less, work out a little more, you gotta eat healthier, and you gotta make better decisions.
Wait, so nothing major? Still healthy, young, and handsome?
All right, well, one out of three ain't bad.
Any medications I should be taking?
Maybe, just maybe, a little bit of tiger's blood.
Let it be known, once again, WFOD, wheelbarrow full of dicks.
Welcome back. Our guest tonight is the writer, director, producer, and editor of a new motion picture called Automation. It will be available on video, on demand, and Blu-ray December 3rd. Gato Setian is on the program. Gato, the movie comes out December 3rd, right? It's going to be on VOD, it's going to be on Blu-ray.
It's in a few theaters on November 29th, and then December 3rd everywhere, on Blu-ray, VOD, you know, all over the place.
Is that like a New York and Los Angeles deal?
I believe so. Yeah, I know for sure there's an LA theater running it. The Frida will be showing it, and I think there's some other places as well. So yeah, the Blu-ray release December 3rd with, you know, all the VOD, you know, pretty much everywhere on VOD you'll be able to find it.
So, I was looking around at stuff on you, and you went to USC. You wanted to make movies from early on, right?
Oh yeah, I've been trying to do it forever.
you were making like a public access TV show that was kind of Twilight Zone-y for a while.
Yes, yeah, you've done some good research. Yeah, I did. When I was in high school, I did a public access TV series called Valley of the Shadows, and it was sort of a Twilight Zone sort of show, and it was at a time when public access TV was really just used for football games and committee meetings. I mean, you got to imagine this is all before YouTube and stuff. So what we were doing, you know, we didn't really realize it until later, but what we were doing was pretty groundbreaking because we were literally doing dramatic television on public access, you know, which wasn't done at that time.
Do you have to like pay to get on it, or because I mean, isn't that what public access is? It's like you
The way it was done was like when, let's say, cable came to a new community at the time, like the part of the deal would be with that town, with the cable provider would like provide a public access television station. and people can go in there and do some kind of training or whatever, and then they could do their own program, you know? But most of the stuff was usually, like I said, committee meetings, football games. I mean, when I started, I was in middle school, and I would just, you know, work camera for like a high school football game or hockey game or something, you know, stuff like that. But, you know, I remember a buddy of mine, Perry Horovitz, who's one of the associate producers on this movie. You know, we were so excited about it because we would make our own movies. I mean, I was actually, you know, making films on Super 8 film, you know, as a kid. You know, when I was like 9 years old, I started like shooting little films and things like that, you know, stop motion animation and stuff like that. And we'd have a, I'd have the actual old reel-to-reel edit system where you'd like put tape on it and you'd cut, literally cut the film and put tape on it. So I've actually, like, through my career, have done all the kinds of different editing, you know. I would work on film, and then I would work on, you know, in public access, it would be 3/4-inch videotape, and I'd be editing tape to tape. And then after I graduated from grad school at USC, I had to learn the nonlinear editing systems, because that's what started then, like, you know, Adobe Premiere stuff, except it was Avid at the time. Avid was the big new technology, and I learned that. And basically my whole career was editing. I worked in advertising, like, you know, it was an ad agency called Deutsch, and I worked there with like the Mitsubishi campaign. And then I got into movie trailers as an assistant editor, and eventually I ended up at Artisan Entertainment as their main home entertainment trailer guy. And then Lionsgate bought Artisan, and then I was at Lionsgate for about 16 years, basically. Oh, 15 years there.
Did you cut the Blair Witch trailer?
I did not cut that, because I was doing the home entertainment stuff. So,
okay,
like, more recent stuff that you would have seen of mine would have been like the new Leprechaun movie. I did the trailer for that. The Leprechaun Returns. I did.
Is that the one,
like,
with Hornswoggle
now?
Yeah, friend of the show, Hornswoggle. Yeah.
Well, you know what? I did that one too. The Hornswoggle one, I did TV VOD spots for. I did like a TV campaign for that. But the more recent one that just came out, which was like a sequel to the original Leprechaun, they kind of did the So that's one I did the trailer for that, and I did the trailer for, like, again, Apocalypse Now. There was like a teaser trailer I did for that, for the new 4K edition. I've done, you know, I'm like an award-winning trailer guy. I've done, like, you know, tons of crazy home entertainment trailers, like 370 trailers and TV spots.
Did you ever
the world I operate in.
Did you ever take the material that you were given from movies that obviously you knew, like Apocalypse Now, and because you are a filmmaker at heart, try to create your own story out of it, like change it up a little bit just for fun?
Oh, like the Shining thing that was done a while back.
Yeah, right.
You know, I did, you know what I did do, which was funny, and you can find this on the internet. You know, I tried to do a pitch to Lionsgate at the time, because when Lionsgate and Artisan, you know, when Lionsgate bought Artisan, Artisan had the Wishmaster series and Lionsgate had the Leprechaun series. So I pitched internally a Leprechaun versus Wishmaster movie. Yeah, I know everyone would have, but they didn't go for it. But then it just sort of somehow that it just ended up on the internet, the fake trailer for it. And everyone thought it was real, you know. So that's out there. So, yeah, there is a Leprechaun versus Wishmaster trailer out there. Yeah. And that was one of my, you know, early, you know, fun things that I did.
So all these years later, you're making your feature film debut as a writer, director, and all that. And I guess do the connections that you've made over time help in getting that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'll tell you, anyone who wants to, you know, make movies, it's the long game you got to play. And, you know, it really, over the last 20 years of my career, you know, mostly working as an editor, you know, I've encountered all sorts of different people, and I would try and make a movie, like something would happen and we'd finally see, oh, this one's going to happen. And then it wouldn't happen, you know, or this project would start up and then that didn't start up. But every little piece of these broken projects that tried to get off the ground ended up being a part of what automation is. Like every contact, every dead project had somebody or, you know, some connection that ended up becoming part of this project. So I never would have made it here without all the other attempts. You know what I mean? So it really is a testament to, like, you know, if you really want to get something done, you got to keep trying. And, you know, you grow to meet, you meet more people in this business, and, you know, you never know who's going to be able to help you, you know, but, it really worked out, you know, the film, you know, worked out well in terms of just, you know, the whole project. This is something I should just tell you. It's like, it wasn't like one of those things where I had an idea for a script and I just wrote it. This was a situation where I had a lot of things at my disposal and I wrote a script around it.
So like you had the factory, yeah, and you're like, what can we do in a factory?
Exactly. Like the company in the movie is actually a real company. It's my cousin's insulation company. Alert Insulation is a real place. And he said he would let me shoot there. A decision he sort of came to regret a little bit, but he was really awesome about it after. And he's like, ah, it's okay. You know, he knew kind of sensed it would be a process. But, yeah, that we had that. And like, one of the producers, Ted Smith on the movie, he's a prop builder, and you might find him on the internet. Really interesting guy. He goes by Evil Ted. And he has a website, evilted.tv or evilted.com. I'm sorry.
It's good branding.
He, well, that's his name. And he's been a prop builder for years in the business. And, you know, he and I were trying to make a project almost 10 years ago called Space Pirates. And he built all these cool space age props, these guns and, you know, control panels and all this cool stuff. And the film never happened, you know, but, you know, part of the pitch for it was building all this stuff. And there was also a robot him and Robert Miller built for another project, and that project never happened. And over the years he kind of was redesigning the robot and stuff, and then he just shelved it for a long time. And he just said, hey, you know, I still have the robot and all these space age props if you ever want to use this stuff for something. And I'm like, okay. So I got a robot, I got an insulation company. Alyssa Dowling's been a friend for years. She was going to be involved in a project I was working on that fell through. So we knew we wanted to work together. I knew my wife was going to be in the movie. So, you know, I had all these elements, you know, and it was just, what can I do about this? And I just thought robots in the workplace.
There
and
you go.
Cause you always see news stories.
The space pirates, are those your stereotypical pirates, or are those just like marauders in space?
It was more like female Han Solos in space. It was like just a fun, very fun adventure with two attractive women, you know, with these two other guys. And they just went on this crazy adventure and ended up on a space station. And then it became kind of a bottle movie with a alien discovery and stuff. Still a really cool project. And, you know, I know Ted is still interested in trying to do it somehow. So it might still happen. But it was like, yeah, I mean, it was crazy. I mean, Ted's an amazing talent. He built all this stuff. So it was,
Is he just crazy. Have it all in storage still? Is it all still just waiting to get pulled out?
I don't know if this, I don't think his shop isn't exactly the same as it was. So, you know, I don't know if he still has, he doesn't quite have all those things, but he can definitely recreate it all if he needs to. Yeah. His website's eviltedsmith.com. So, and it's the Evil Ted channel. So you go there, and what he does now, cause he used to work in movies all the time, but now what he does is he teaches people how to build their own costumes for like cosplayers and things like that. So he kind of saw the writing on the wall, the way the film was industry was changing. So he figured, hey, you know, a lot of people like to create their own costumes and stuff. He'll show people how to do it, you know, and that's what he does now.
And that's an amazing way to pivot, because it's the con industry is so huge right now. And every time you see pictures from a con, it's like movie quality cosplay. I mean, like some amazing stuff. So that was very smart. I was to say, like, you know, you mentioned Alyssa Dowling and how you guys were going to work on it together. Like, one of the things that I loved about this movie so much, and Automation is great, is like you were able to amass like a pretty solid cast. I mean, like a bunch of genre favorites. You had Graham Skipper in there, Perry Shen, who was in Hatchet 3, and Victor Crowley was great to see in there, Sadie Katz. But they were all very good. But I got to say, the thing that sold me on this movie was the combination of who you had in the auto suit and the voiceover work. I mean, both of those two together, like, made Otto such a sympathetic character. Like, I constantly was rooting for him, even when he was doing awful things.
Well, that was exactly the goal. And I'm glad you felt that way. You know, and again, all of these things, again, all right, so the voice of Otto, that was Jim Tasker. He is a professional VO artist. He has done trailers for me for like over 15 years. You know, I used him, you know, they used to use VO a lot more in movie trailers. Now they just more use them in TV spots.
Right.
But in those early years, Jim Tasker's the voice on all my trailers, almost all of them. I mean, I shouldn't say all, but you know, a ton of them, you know, and there's a lot of very talented voiceover artists, but Jim is just amazing. I mean, he
has
was like
movie
sort
trailer
of the protege
voice.
Of Don LaFontaine, you know?
Yeah. Oh, sure. So, yeah.
Was there any point that you had him have like a wimpy robot voice, or was Jim Tasker always what you wanted to go with?
Again, this was like using elements I had. I knew I was going to use Jim Tasker's voice when I was filming the movie. And it's funny, Jeff Knight, who played the robot, now he is a professional cosplayer, and he was a friend of Ted through the cos community, you know, and he's like, you're going to need some guy who's really going to work hard and, you know, just totally do everything you need on this film. And my God, Jeff Knight, you know, that guy worked so hard. He was in that suit all the time, and he was sick at times. And, you know, there'd be takes, he'd be like, you know, really sick with a bad cold, and he'd be like, you know, Jenny, I, you know, sneezing in the suit and everything, the poor guy. But he was amazing. And, you know, he actually did have a voice, he did, for the robot, and it was a good voice. It was more like C-3PO, you know, when he played it. But I always intended to use Jim because I wanted more of a sort of rich, sort of Knight Rider sort of voice, like kind of Carr in the Knight Rider episode, you know, the Paul Frees sort of voice. It's funny, all the actors, you know, and again, Jeff did a great job. I'm not knocking on him at all here. I mean, he really performed it well, and he was so good. All the actors were like, no, you should be using Jeff's voice, you know, cause they didn't know what Jim Tasker was going to sound like. You know what I mean? They were all, you know, every day you work on the set and you're hearing this one voice coming from the robot. But then when they all saw the finished product, they're like, wow, you know, that really worked well. You know?
It is. It's really like, see, like if you watch some of the behind the scenes footage without James Earl Jones voice for Darth Vader, when you hear just the Prowse's voice coming out of that suit, it's a completely different experience, I would imagine, for the actors rather than for the audience who gets to see the finished product.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and you get to on the Blu-ray, you do. There's a really nice there's a 30-minute behind the scenes piece we did, and you do get to hear Jeff Knight perform a little bit in there. So you get a sense of what it was like on the set versus what the final product was. And as you can tell, there was a lot of sound design done on that. I mean, you know, cause the suit, it's made of foam, you know, and, you know, every footstep, that was me editing sound design to it, like ka-ching, 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 or anytime he turned his head or moved his arms, whenever he stepped into a room, like I watched films like RoboCop, and you'd always hear like an electric hum whenever the robot would enter a room. So I added an electric hum every time Otto entered a room, you know? So there was a lot of that, and that all that along with Jeff Knight's physical performance and, you know, Jim Tasker's voice, also modulated a bit by, our finishing guy, you know, it just really came together nicely.
Hey, has anybody made the Short Circuit comparison yet? That it's like a gritty Short Circuit?
I love that line, gritty Short Circuit. One person did mention that. I did read one review, and it did say it starts off like with remnants of like RoboCop and Short Circuit, and then becomes more like Predator or Alien, you know? It's interesting reading reviews now, you know, because this is my first experience seeing actual reviews where people are talking about me as a filmmaker. And it's funny when you sometimes read a review and they say, this film is a little confused because it starts off so upbeat and like happy, and then it goes so dark. And it's like, well, that was kind of
that's the point.
That's the whole rub of the movie.
Yeah.
Well, and that's why you're so conflicted by the time you get to the fact when he turns. Like, you're so conflicted on, should you be cheering for these humans, or are we still on the side of Otto? Like, he's like just a confused guy, you know, like you feel sorry for
him. It's a tragedy. You know, it's a tragedy. You like Otto and, you know, all of his choices in the movie. And I don't want to, you know, give away too much, but, you know, it's basically, you know, the movie is about how how he's learning human behavior, and everything he does, you know, is based on things he's been told or, you know, learned, you know?
Right.
Are you personally like excited for automation, or are you kind of scared of it? Like, obviously you made this film, but you know, entertainment, whatnot. Are you excited for the complete automation of the world? Because I'm going to be honest with you, I am. I'm on board.
Yeah, I'm
just because he likes naps.
I would say I'm in a I don't know situation, you know, because I do recognize the fact that, you know, there are people who will lose jobs in this world. You know what I mean? And that part just sucks. You know, it's just, you know, do they then find other places for, you know, people to advance and do things? You know, I mean, it's sort of, I mean, look, you can't stop it. You know what I mean? Technology is going to grow and change. And then, heck, the robots and machines are going to need maintenance, so people are going to have to learn how to work that. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, it really, to be really honest, I didn't have an answer one way or the other, you know, in this movie. It's the usual technology sort of gone berserk, you know, concept. But, yeah, I kind of went into this. I don't have an answer, you know. I'm just sort of playing with the ideas. And, the part of the movie that also intrigued me a lot was sort of the relationship between Otto and Jenny, and trying to do something that had heart and emotion in it was very important to me, and making Otto seem like a real character, not just, you know, a guy in a suit, you know, like actually giving him a personality and making people care about him. So that was sort of my, and I
like
knew
Johnny Five.
Like Alyssa Dowling. Yeah, I knew Alyssa Dowling was going to be great bouncing off of him, you know, because I knew we needed a really likable personality that was, you know, very charismatic and strong to bounce off of the robot. And, you know, I knew she was going to be perfect for that sort of thing.
Matt, you said like Johnny Five. Do you want to hear the thing I made for Gatto, Matt?
Sure.
Johnny Five is alive.
Perfect.
So guys, the automation, it's going to be on video on demand and Blu-ray on December 3rd. If you're in one of the lucky places to see it in theaters, I recommend you do. Hey, Gatto, do you know Spooky Dan?
Yes, I do. Spooky's a great guy.
Gatto, from talking to you, I just got a vibe that like you and Spooky Dan would probably be best friends. I just figured I'd mention that because...
No, I've known Spooky a long time. I mean, and yeah, you know, I mean, it's like it's that LA horror scene, you know, we all kind of know each other and run into each other at parties and screenings. And in fact, like Spooky and I were just, we ran into each other we sat together at a screening of another film by Epic Pictures called The Fair, which is out now. And it's another Twilight Zone, really good movie, by the way. And you know, afterwards we just went out and had some ice cream and just chatted for a while, and it was cool. Yeah, I know Spooky very well. Talented guy, you know. He has a Christmas movie out, which was released last year, and if you missed it then, you should catch it now. It's called Sleigh Bells.
Sleigh Bells. Yeah, we talked to Spooky about that.
And this is a Christmas movie too, Gatto. I forgot to mention that.
Yes, it is.
Like Die Hard, it's a Christmas movie.
Yep. Happy Christmas movie. Yes, sir.
Definitely, before you leave, there's a lot of controversy these days about, you know, big famous directors discrediting the superhero films. So I just didn't know if you wanted to weigh in on that. Is this too controversial for you? Are you able to comment on it? Or
To me, yes, I will comment on this. You know, I find so many of these arguments just stupid. I mean, and it's like, I think this is just the press. You know, I think people really got to pay better attention to how the press operates, because they're always trying to set people up against each other, whether it's politics or movies.
You kind of were.
Yeah, no, I know you're not. I know you're not. But what I'm saying is,
Just to let you know, this is definitely the clip that I'm pulling to put on social media.
Can I like them both? Can I just like them both? I mean, I like both. I like dramas and I like comic book movies. Well, and you know,
you're right about the press thing, because it just came out after Charlie's Angels failed to perform at the box office. So some website like drug up an old interview with Elizabeth Banks saying, you know, all the boys have their superhero movies. You know, isn't it okay that we have our, you know, our movie? And right. It was like way before the movie even opened, and all of the headlines say Elizabeth Banks slams fanboys for ruining box office of Charlie's Angels.
It's right. Like,
come on, you know.
Yeah.
Obviously, that's not the case. I completely agree with you. Hey, real quick, I know the movie is not out in wide release yet. Do you have an idea for a sequel? Because I'd love to see more Otto.
Well, you know, let's see how well the film does. I do have an idea for a sequel. And okay. I do have another film I'd like to do next, though. I wrote a sci-fi movie actually before this one, which I took 4 years to write. Because at the time I was working full time and it just took a while to do it. So right now I'm talking to some people about potentially getting that one going next.
Is there a way that you can somehow shoehorn Otto into that script somehow? Just stick him in
Otto,
there somewhere.
It would have to be an automation sequel, you know? Right. So I would probably work Otto in a sequel to automation. All right. And there is a way of doing that. In fact, we, you know, the breadcrumbs are in there in the movie. So that's, it's there. It wasn't planned to have a sequel, you know, but it, you know, I figured out how to do it if needed.
Yeah, well, we did immediately when it was over too. Me and Travis were going back and forth on how the sequel could happen.
Yeah, we have our ideas. We won't share them here, but we've got ideas on how we could continue automation. So if you get too busy and you don't want to deal with this anymore, we'll go ahead and write the script for you.
Oh, wow. Okay, we'll talk later.
Gatto, where is the best place for people to find more information about this movie and what else you got?
I think, you know, I'm going to sound like an old man here, but I think Facebook is probably the place to reach out to me best right now these days. I mean, I'm on Instagram too, but I'm not exactly as proficient on that. I don't know how people handle that, how handle both of those and Twitter and all these other things at the same time. I mean, it's like one's enough for me. I'm trying.
Guys.
Yeah, Snapchat too. Yeah.
Automation's going to be on video on demand and Blu-ray on December 3rd. It's in select theaters coming up here in a couple days. Gatto, we appreciate...
Mike, spoiler alert, Automation is my pick of the week.
Pick of the week, contrast. Gatto, we appreciate you spending some time with us, man. It was a lot of fun. We should do it when Automation 2 comes out.
Oh, thank you, guys. I really appreciate it. We really wanted to make a fun movie that... you know, had heart and emotion and, you know, had a few laughs, you know, the movie, as you can tell, it's a little satirical and stuff. And we wanted to make a fun movie. And, I hope people can see that.
Well, mission accomplished.
You succeeded. I appreciate it.
No, thank you so much.
Thanks,
bud.
Talk to you guys later. Thanks. Yeah,
talk to you later. I'll tell you what, Matt.
Yes.
Like that Gatto. What a
I don't know why you
nice
wouldn't
guy.
Like Gatto. He's very friendly, you know, and willing to hang. Like, I think any guest that's willing to just hang and chat is a good guest.
That's what you're looking for, right? Is somebody who just likes to chat. This isn't an interview. Let's just talk.
Well, I mean, it is an interview.
Well,
We did it. We interviewed, but at the same time,
right?
You know, we could just talk about whatever. And Gatto was like, "Yeah, I'll give you whatever you want.
Right.
I'll talk about the whatever you guys want to talk about."
Well, and I'm gonna watch this movie. I'm buy the Blu-ray, guys, because this,
get him back
this...
on the phone. Let's ask him about the vasectomy.
I need to see a sequel to this movie. I look forward to whatever he's doing next. But I got to tell you, Otto, one of my favorite characters in a long time.
Matt, you didn't catch Automation, did you?
I did not watch Automation.
I know you didn't.
You
want to know how I know? Because the screener thing, we have 5 watches.
Oh, Mike, I thought I blew it last night.
And I looked, and only 2 of them we still have three watches, Matt.
Oh, I definitely did not watch it.
Mike, I thought I blew it last night. I was watching it, and I told you I had to bring my laptop upstairs, yeah. And I'm watching it, and I get to like almost the penultimate point, like the climax of the movie, and all of a sudden the screen goes black. I'm like, what the hell is happening here? Well, I didn't have my computer plugged in, so the battery died, and I was like, oh no, I hope I didn't lose one of the watches.
Well, yeah, ultimately, it didn't matter, Travis. We're fine.
Yep, we're good.
So, Matt, pick of the week, something you want the people to know about?
I feel like I have so many picks of the week.
It's been a long time. I mean, just
it's been a while since I've given out a pick of the week. And there's a few things I have that I'm curious about, and I've got picks of the week. And so I'm going to start here. I'm going to start with, I have a few. So are you ready?
Yes. Yeah, let's do it. Just roll them out.
I have a All few right. too.
All right. So one, I'm going to throw it out to the new season of Rick and Morty. We're three episodes in. And if you're a fan of Rick and Morty, it's been great so far. A lot of fun. It's kind of just gone back to, you know, we're not really focused on anything in general, except just each episode having a good time. So really big fan of that. Next, last time I did a pick of the week, I think I threw it out to the My Chemical Romance doing a reunion tour. Mike promised that he was going to binge listen to My Chemical Romance, and he didn't. He still hasn't.
I did.
Oh, I've been waiting Mike, for it, and I'm he's sorry. Continuously letting me down each week. I think
I'll do it tomorrow, man. I'll do it tomorrow. Promise.
Promise? Yeah. You promise.
I'll do it tomorrow.
All right. So tomorrow, Twitter at WFOD show. I really can't wait because I'm going to tell you something. It's good shit, man.
It's good shit.
The Black Parade, that's the one you want me to listen to?
Well, really, you should be listening to all of it because Danger Days is a great fucking record, too.
Oh, I love Danger Days.
Come on, Matt. Give me one album that you want me to listen to from start to finish.
Give it Black Parade.
Okay. And then remember when B-Rob did the whole Tool listening party?
Yeah,
you got to do that. You got to get on video. You got to give us your like every couple of tracks reaction.
It turns out I don't
before you go into
video,
a Walmart,
I have a weird
I want to hear
face.
What you have to say about.
Well, I mean, you
I'm
don't have to show your face.
I'm not as handsome as B-Rob.
You don't have to show your face. Like, I don't know. Take a picture.
I don't have a
your
neck, Travis. I FaceTimed
your t-shirt.
My father earlier, and my chin just goes straight into my chest. There is no neck.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm frumpy. I'm not what you would call attractive.
Well, I wouldn't say that.
Matt, my pick of the week. Have you seen the videos floating around of the people getting colorblind corrective glasses?
I saw that you tweeted something along this.
Apparently, they made glasses that correct colorblindness. There's a whole bunch. I looked this up. I was curious what colorblind people see, and there's a whole bunch of different kinds of colorblindness, and it's really fascinating. Have you ever thought that like maybe like what I see as blue isn't what you see as blue? But I mean, like we both can say that's blue, but how do you know that the blue that you're seeing is the blue that I'm seeing?
The only thing that would make me think that we can definitely tell like and are seeing the same thing, which I agree. I'm sure there's some minor perceptive differences, but you know what teal is or light blue or baby
right, but
blue.
It's a mixture of two colors. But like, you know, how do we know that like the two colors that we're seeing are the same color? You know what I'm saying?
They have to be close enough that we both know what baby blue is and the world knows what baby blue is.
But it's just
they
a mixture of two colors.
I understand that. I that's what I'm – but still, like those two colors, we are still seeing a mixture of those two colors.
Right.
So the fact that I can say, well, it's not quite a red. It's more of a maroon. And you go, okay, yeah, I get what you're saying because you also connect it. And then there's a million other people that can connect that phrase. Then yes, we all are definitely seeing something very similar. But if we were like, oh, well, you know, all looking at it and going, well, it's not really a maroon. It's a blood red or it's a fucking,
yeah,
what, you know.
Hey, can I ask you guys a question?
What's that?
Yeah.
Are you high right now?
Well, no. Travis, the reason that I'm saying is because, like, you see these people putting on these glasses and like, they're seeing colors that they've never seen before. And, like, they're just fucking happy. They're so goddamn happy. Like, there was like a 60-year-old man that Jody sent me the other day.
He's on his front porch?
Yeah. I mean, that,
yeah, I've
fucking
seen that. I saw that a while ago. That made me bawl.
Got me, Travis. It got me. And
I,
like,
was bawling.
Why is, like, glasses that correct color blindness not the biggest story? Like, why do we not know about it? Like, why is that something that like, we haven't been talking about? Like, why do we only have to get fed the fucking garbage all the fucking time? Right. It seems like there's no hope anymore. And so, like, when I saw that old barefooted man standing on the front porch, just like having a moment of joy, it fucking got me, Travis.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, we need more of that. Like, if we all like make a vow to just share that kind of material and comment on that kind of material on the internet, maybe we can change what the internet is.
But yeah, my pick of the week is the new Billy Corgan album. Matt, Billy Corgan put out a new album. It's great. It's dark. It's kind of a bluegrass.
Billy Corgan's new record is what Billy Corgan thinks fans would want of a Billy Corgan.
It's not
record,
Matt.
It was a Smashing Pumpkins record. That
very
was
different, Matt.
1992, but with a twist of 2014.
It's got a lot of
2019
of fiddle in it.
Yeah,
there's
I
a lot
it
of
does.
Fiddle.
I'm sure it's got a fiddle in it.
You gotta have a fiddle in the band.
Yeah, it's it's
especially
it's
if
very,
you want to play in Texas.
It's not what you would expect, Matt.
Of course, it isn't.
So
I guarantee I'm not going to like this.
Let me just, I'm going to propose something for next show. I suggest that in the month of December, we all take the Papa John's 40 pizzas in 30 days challenge.
What?
What?
Papa John owner, CEO guy took to an
Papa
interview.
John himself?
Papa John himself took to an interview recently that said, you know, since he's been ousted, he thinks that the quality of the pizza has gone downhill, and he knows because he's had 40 pizzas in the last 30 days, and all of them have been bad, and that there shall be a reckoning.
The Papa John's by my house is a B, rated a B. Is that bad?
That's pretty good, right?
I don't know. I
don't know if I've ever
Papa
been
John's
to a place that doesn't have an A.
A long time.
Oh, like for health inspection.
Yeah, they got a B.
They probably had somebody didn't wash their hands, or maybe they didn't have actual paper towel dispenser by the hand wash station, and really they had a roll of paper towel sitting on the sink. That's
Travis,
all.
I'll tell you what. Right. There was one time at the Pizza Hut. I'll tell you a quick Pizza Hut story, and then I mean we can't keep going, Travis.
We gotta go.
We gotta go. Health inspector came to the Pizza Hut and they gave us a D. And he said, hey, I'm giving you this D, but I will come back.
Is that because he walked in and he just saw Napier behind the counter?
Yes. I mean, that was part of it. Napier was the manager on duty at the time. And he said, I'll come back tomorrow. And if things improve, I'll inspect you again. So me and Napier and the boys spent all night. We stayed up the whole night. We cleaned out the grease traps. We fucking scrubbed everything. Came back the next day. He gave us an A.
Nice.
So
that's all it takes.
If they have a B on their window,
yeah,
that probably means that, like, he gave them a B and they just didn't give a fuck.
Yeah, they probably said, ah, fuck it, that's good enough.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, we took that D and said, fuck, we better clean this place up. They got a B and they knew that everybody would come see it, and they'd say, eh, I mean, a B's not an F. It's fine. And that's the Papa John's motto, really.
I also want to throw out there The Mandalorian.
Oh, is that your other pick of the week?
So good.
Travis's pick of the week is just automation, he said.
Yeah.
Yep.
Do you have another one, Travis? We're doing multiples.
Did you see that Mandalorian shit, man? That Mandalorian shit.
Mandalorian would be a pick of the week, except I feel like everybody already knows about it. I guess my only other pick of the week right now is I'm 3/4 of the way through Pete Holmes's book, Comedy Sex God. Quite good. I'm very much enjoying it.
Guys, we'll do it again next week. We appreciate all of you. We'll see you later. Hey, happy Thanksgiving, right? Happy Thanksgiving.
Gobble, gobble.
That's my mom. Because I keep wrestling with snakes. Sick of all the slippery stuff. Are you Jekyll and Hyde in me? Silently. Matthew.
Yes, sir.
Should we tease the Thanksgiving special?
I don't.
Should we tease it? Should we tell the people?
I think the people know.
Who are the people?
Who the people?
I didn't know about it.
Travis didn't know about it, Matt.
It's on Twitters. I tweeted it.
Travis, do you not follow Matt on Twitter.com? It's a social media website. Guys,
I look at my ats and I look at the what's trending usually.
Yeah.
Uncle sense. Hall in the chat. He said, "Can I have a pick of the week?"
And he wants one.
He also didn't know about the Thanksgiving special.
Dude almost died. He almost died.
What do you mean he almost died?
Oh, I'm telling you, fucking Uncle Hall almost died. Like his kidney failed and his liver failed.
Is it hard living? Isn't he like 15?
Gallbladder failed.
What the hell happened? Does he have the lupus?
Failure. He had some sort of like lice, kidney lice or something.
He had lice?
Yeah, but internally.
Internal lice. So did he eat something with lice on it?
I don't know, but he was honestly, I thought it was over for him. He was in the hospital in the emergency room, hooked up to all the machines.
Did you go they visit did like him?
No.
Did you send him a get well balloon?
I think like days later I said, I hope you're feeling better. Oh. But he was in the hospital and he was almost dead. They did an emergency surgery. They brought him back to life. He went home. He went back to the hospital almost dead again.
So they didn't fix it the first time?
No.
Well, Uncle Hall, I'm glad that you're not dead. And somehow I'm going to make this about me and say that, like, now I'm just concerned that any little, like, pain is probably something shutting down, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, last time I went to the emergency room, we were sitting at an Applebee's and I was eating a Caesar salad. And I was just like, I think I'm having a heart attack. And like, I wasn't. I was fine. They just said, you're fine.
I had a gas bubble in my stomach earlier. Oh. And it went away.
Didn't your that anxiety shit get rid of your fake heart attack panic? Mine did.
I was taking that every day for a long time, and now I'm just taking it like as needed.
Ah.
And it's been a lot better since I started taking it as needed. I think that it might have been making me crazy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, that sucks. You don't want things to make you crazy.
Right. Might still be. I don't know. I don't take.
You don't take your anxiety medicine that often?
No, not really.
Uncle Hall, if you call me, I can't add you to the thing where it, like, I would hear you, but nobody else would.
Uncle Hall, I don't know what the deal is with Skype. I apologize. Uncle Hall, I'll tell you what. Send me an email and explain the whole thing to me.
I'm going to explain it to you right now. He had anal fissures.
No, he had internal lice because he ate something with lice on
it. You didn't let me. You didn't. All right,
guys. I got to get out of here. Travis, I got a bloody nose.
Travis has a bloody nose. Man.
It's dry down here.
Sounds like he has what Uncle Hall had.
Yeah, I'm going to go to the hospital immediately.
Yeah, Uncle Hall, mike@wfodicks.com, and I'll forward it to the rest of them.
Anal fissures, lice got into it, and he had kidney lice, and he had to go to the hospital.
Let's just stop doing the show, man.
Would never say that.
All right, tune in Thursday. Yay! Right? Right? Yay! Yeah.
I can't see in the dark. Are you Jekyll or Hyde this time? Where's my mind? I can't sleep in the dark. Jekyll and Hyde.
Guys, thanks for tuning in to this edition of the UFO Dicks Internet Radio Program. If you enjoyed it, subscribe so you don't miss the next one. You can catch us live every Tuesday night on strangelabel.com. Check out the other shows on that station as well. Hey, guys, our entire back catalog is up on WFODshow.com, or, you know, get it on your podcast players and stuff. TuneIn, Stitcher, iTunes, Podcatcher, or whatever the fuck you use, you know. Hey, guys, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, or at WFODicks, at ProduceTravis, at Drunkard STL on the Twitters. Guys, email us, Mike, Matt, Travis, or Drunk at WFODshow.com. Thanks as always to our Patreon sponsors, Brian Kranz, Liquid Lozengen, Val. If you'd like to be a Patreon sponsor, it's patreon.com/WFODicks. We'll see you next week. Hey, happy Thanksgiving. Bye. Every evening, baby, you drive me insane. Are you Jekyll and Hyde in me? Silently, I can't see in the dark. Are you Jekyll or Hyde this time? Where's my mind? I can't sleep in the dark. Jekyll and Hyde.
Good stuff happening. It's going to be juicy. You'll see. All right. Bye for now. Take good care of yourself. Bye.
Johnny Five is alive.